rests, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When from my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Sometimes in times of sadness, we ask ourselves the question, does Jesus care? And the biblical answer to that question is yes, he most certainly does. The Word of God assures us that Jesus cares when our hearts are pained. Open your Old Testaments to the 22nd Psalm, and we'll begin reading in the first verse. It's not my purpose this morning to exegete this song. It begins with the well-known words uttered by Jesus as he hung on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. David prayed earnestly to God, and God did not immediately respond. God did not immediately deliver David from his distressing circumstances. David maintained his faith. In verse 3, he says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." David knew that God had delivered his people Israel on earlier occasions. He knew that God had parted the waters of the Red Sea so that Israel could walk across on dry land. He knew that God had parted the waters of the Jordan River, allowing the Israelites to walk into the Promised Land. He knew that God had used Gideon and 300 of his soldiers to deliver Israel from the oppression of the Midianites, and other examples could be cited. David knew that God had responded to the prayers of his people in days gone by, But God does not appear to be responding to David right now. David said, "You delivered Israel, but I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people." It seems to me that David is implying, "You delivered Israel, but you are not delivering me. You're not coming to my aid. You're not coming to my rescue." And in the next several verses, David goes on to describe his distressing circumstances. But at the end of verse 21, David said, "You have answered me." David felt that he had been abandoned by God. He did not understand why God did not immediately come and deliver him from his trying circumstances. And we all know that this psalm, while it had an immediate application in David's own life, that it is ultimately fulfilled in the life of Jesus. But the point that I want to make here is that even though God did not immediately respond to David, did not immediately deliver him from his trial, he did eventually respond. And he did eventually rescue David. In the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm, God did not take the cup away from his son. But God did answer this prayer in the resurrection. No doubt there are other passages that we could cite to demonstrate that Jesus cares when our hearts are pain. And he cares when our way is dark. The Apostle Paul knew that when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe that he wrote these words during his second Roman imprisonment. I believe that Paul is anticipating his execution in the near future. And so he says to his young protege, "Be diligent," verse 9, "to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the book, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. When Paul's way was dark, the Lord was there. And Jesus cares when we yield to temptation. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus warned his apostles that they would be made to stumble that very night. Matthew writes in Matthew 26 and in verse 31, quoting from the Old Testament, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." And so Jesus is telling the apostles ahead of time that they are going to flee, that they are going to desert him in his hour of trial. But Jesus goes on to say, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And Luke tells us that Jesus prayed for those apostles, and especially for Peter. Jesus tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you." The pronoun is plural. So Jesus was saying that Satan had asked for all of the apostles, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, singular. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith, Peter's faith, should not fail. And when you, Peter, have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew that Peter would return. And Jesus had work for him to do. In verse 34 of Luke chapter 22, Jesus specifically warned Peter that he would deny him. He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And of course, we know the rest of that story, don't we? We know that despite our Lord's warning, Peter did the very thing that Jesus said that he would do, something that Peter swore he would never do. And yet he did it anyway. But after the resurrection, Jesus spoke some of the most encouraging words in all the Bible when he instructed the women to whom he appeared in Mark chapter 16 in verse 7. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Those two words, "and Peter," to me are some of the most encouraging words in all the Bible. Because even though Peter grievously sinned when he denied the Lord, Jesus still loved him. Jesus still cared for him. And when we sin against the Lord, He still cares for us. He still loves us. He still wants a relationship with us. And Jesus is always ready and willing to forgive when we repent and seek His forgiveness. John writes in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus cares when we've said goodbye to a loved one. I know that, at least in part, because we are told in John chapter 11 and verse 35 that Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You are familiar with that story. And you know that Jesus visited that tomb because He intended to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so I ask, why did Jesus weep? He knew what He was going to do. He knew that He would raise Lazarus from the dead. Why did Jesus weep? I believe it is because Jesus felt their pain and their loss. I believe it is because Jesus understood the significance of sin and death more than we can even begin to understand it. The chorus of this hymn says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. Brothers and sisters, we can know in times of failure, in times of sadness and sorrow, in times of loss, we can still know that Jesus loves us and cares for us because He left the glories of heaven to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Jesus left the glories of heaven, the intimate association that He had with the Father and the Spirit and the angels. He left all of that behind. I know He cares, because Jesus became a man so that we might become sons of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus proved His love for each one of us once and for all at Calvary. And then he endured the agonies of crucifixion so that we might enjoy the glories of eternal life. Open your Old Testaments to Isaiah chapter 53. And read with me as Isaiah prophesies some 700 years before Jesus entered the world, the agonies that he would experience at Golgotha. He begins the chapter by asking this question: who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Let's stand and sing.